Executioners of France. The Sanson family. Charles Sanson's contract with Louis XIV. I talked about this but hadn't mentioned it, and I've gone over some of the perks, if you will, of being the chief executioner of the French government. But here is his official document. Executeur des arrêts et sentences criminelles à Paris, 1688. All right, so Louis, by the grace of God, King of France and Navarre, Louis XIV, to all those who shall see these presents, greetings. By order of our court of the Parliament of Paris, the 11th of August, the present year, 1688, it having been ordained for the reasons hereinafter set out, that Charles Sanson, known as Longueval, shall alone fulfill the office of executioner of high justice in our city, provostry, and viscounty of Paris, subject to his obtaining our letters of patent from the said office. Wherefore, be it known that in view of the good account given us of the said Charles Sanson, known as Longueval, we have, in accordance with the said order, given and guaranteed, and do by these presents give and grant him the status of executioner of the high works and criminal sentences in our aforesaid county, provostry, and viscounty of Paris, heretofore held and exercised by Nicolas Levasseur, known as La Reverie, last incumbent thereof, the same having been discharged by the said order of our said court of the Parliament of Paris, and added under the counter-seal of our chancellery in respect of the said office and its tenure, future exercise, enjoyment, and use by the aforesaid Sanson to the rights of the levy in the friars and markets of our said city, provostry, viscounty of Paris, products, gains, revenues, and emoluments, such and similar as have well and properly been enjoyed by the incumbents of like offices, to wit, the enjoyment of house and habitation at the Pillory des Halles, its appurtenances and dependency without let or hindrance for whatsoever cause, and furthermore, the right to exact from each merchant bearing eggs on his back or by hand one egg, from each saddle loaded two egg, from each cart load a demi quantron, and from each basket of apples, pears, grapes, and other produce, whether arriving by land or by water in boats, carrying the same load as a horse, one sou. For each laden horse, the same amount. For each two cart, two sous. For those bringing whatever, by land or water, green peas, medlars, hemp seed, mustard seed, poulavine, millet, walnuts, chestnuts, hazelnuts, his spoonful, as has always been common. From each itinerant merchant bringing on his back or by hand, butter, cheese, poultry, and freshwater fish, six deniers. For each horse, one sou. For each cartload of beans, two sous. For each tip cart, two-wheeled trundle, 20 sous and a carp. Yeah, you get some money and you get a fish at the same time. For each bag of peas or broad beans in pods, one sou. For each basket, six deniers. For each case of oranges and lemons brought in by itinerant merchants, either by land or sea, one sou. For each wagon load of oysters in the shell, one quatroon. For each boat load in proportion, and for every person bringing brooms, one broom. For every horse load, two. For every cart load, six. For every merchant bringing in coal, his potful. From the sworn rope makers, rope for the executions. All the rights, all which rights have been levied both in our own city of Paris and in other parts of our kingdom, which the said Sanson will enjoy, also as exemption from all levies in respect to night watch, guards, bridges, ferries, receipts of wine and other beverages for his own Provence, and with the right to carry arms, both offensive and defensive, himself and his servants, on account of his office. And then there's a whole list of other things, and in the end it goes, bestowed in Versailles, the 23rd date of September, the year of grace, 1688, the 46th year of our reign. an interesting document. We don't usually get a written document for an executioner laying out what he gets to do. And this is kind of minimal. You know, so you can see that he's getting paid for each of these individuals. And you remember, this is allowed in every market in Paris. So, yes, there's the one where he lives, but they're all over the city. And it also allows for his assistants, which he has 15 to 20. Ultimately, his wife is included as well, that they can go around and gather this up. Which is, I like the one about the brooms, where you get to bring in a cartload of brooms. He gets six of them. And all this is way over what he actually needs, but of course you can sell it, can be dealt out. You certainly have plenty of food. That's not a problem. So in times of hardship where there's not food for the everyday person, the executioner and his friends will eat. They may not get as much, but ultimately the business of taking handfuls and whatever, as I mentioned briefly, by the time you get to the French Revolution, it has been decided that instead of using hands, you use scoops. You know, he talked about a spoonful in one of the sections there. Well, they'll change that to scoops, and then you'll be able to separate all of the stuff out. But you notice that he's also getting paid bits of money, and that adds up as well. And so we talked about last time that, you know, salary is certainly the equivalent of 65,000 livres de tournois, if not more. But he does have costs. It's his responsibility to provide transportation to the place of execution. Obviously, he has to keep the extra bodies while the priests are figuring out what they're supposed to do with them, and a variety of other things. Cleanup. It's not a problem at this point, but it really becomes a problem during the revolution because the guillotine is both quick and messy. So that has to all be cleaned up, something we'll talk about when we get further along in there. And of course, he's subject to no taxes. He isn't subject to having to do any kind of duty at all. If they're charging to cross a bridge, he doesn't have to pay to cross the bridge. So it's pretty free. Then there's the section about carrying weapons. Now, most people carry probably a sidearm of some sort, and certainly the common people would carry a knife or dagger for self-protection. He can carry whatever he wants to. If he want to walk around with a musket, they're not going to challenge him. They, by the way, they also have a uniform that they tend to wear, which separates them out. But fortunately for the Sansons, they have the good side where they help people with injuries, and they have their salves and things that go on. But this document, in the beginning, it talks about how he gets the job. He'd been recommended. People have looked into it. There's the guy who sold it to him. So technically, the last man had picked him out, and for the right amount of money, then told the king or the council. And when they say the Parliament of Paris is where the nobles sit. The nobles are in full control of that, and that's a big deal because they're usually capable of stopping any legislation that's going to require them being taxed. But it's a formality. Does this guy have capabilities? Okay. And then of course it says, and as a result of so and so recommending you, and we've checked you out, you get to do the job. Now this will be easier for the Sansons as we go along, because remember, there's like six or seven generations, one after the other. So Charles Sanson, Longueval, in the issue here, will eventually turn over his job to his 18-year-old son in a bizarre incident that we'll be looking at next week. And then, of course, Charles II, will do the same thing to his son, which is Charles Henri Sanson, who's our executioner during for most of the French Revolution. And then it'll be passed on to his son, and then so forth and so on until it finally ends. And it will be really kind of just a formality. I mean, it's one of the things that Sanson, Charles Henry Sanson, the man during the revolution, had problems with, and that was Louis XVI's execution. He knew Louis XVI very well. It was the man who gave him his job, even though his father had had it. And they had worked together on the committee that decided on the guillotine. And it was very hard for him to execute Louis XVI. And it will really scar him. But along those lines, if you're ever in London, the original guillotine that killed Louis XVI is in Madame Tussauds Wax Museum in London, because she purchased it from one of his descendants. Because after Louis XVI was executed, he removed it from the guillotine and kept it in his house. Actually made a little altar in a closet that he prayed for forgiveness when he got up and left in the morning and when he got ready for bed. And he just put a new blade that they had on the guillotine and then continued on from there. but it wasn't stealing. It was his. He was the chief executioner. It was his. It's kind of interesting. I know, reading through a document where they're talking about how many eggs you get, and boy, by the end of the day, they must have had plenty of eggs. Now, the sources for this, The Legacy of Death by Levy, History of Capital Punishment by Scott, Encyclopedia of Murder by Wilson, Collin, and Pittman, History of the Guillotine by Kirshaw, Sept Generations d'Executionneurs, 1688-1847 by Henri Sanson, and Madame Tussaud's Memoirs of My Madame Tussaud. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.